Good morning. We continue with our study of the world of friendship of Rovolbi. We are beginning a new chapter in the work when he talks about the concept of what it means to have an ol, or a yoke. Why are we so concerned with the yoke of Shamayim? So Rovolbi begins with this conversation, this particular one was a column in a paper called HaNe'eman. And he says, look, I don't understand something. Often I find that people seek rabbis who are mekilim. They look for leniency in applying halacha to all, so that everyone should be able to keep it. He says, how does that work if you believe that there's a system in halacha? If we don't honestly engage halacha, we don't really learn to appreciate the system. And that we therefore have a responsibility to realize that we have to seek out authenticity. Uses an example. He says, let's say you had a king, a human king, who walked into a particular state within his kingdom. And a servant said, hey, you're the king. Give us halacha. Tell us what the law is. So he says, look, until you accept my kingship, until you accept my authority, why should I turn around and give you laws? If you don't accept me, then my laws are going to be worthless. Michilta says the same thing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First thing Hashem says to us is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God. If you don't accept me as the source of the law, then why would you bother to accept the law itself? Which is why Rovolbi says we first have to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. When we say Kriya Shema, we talk about the fact that before we go ahead and engage with Hashem in regard to his mitzvos, we first have to accept the responsibility of Shamayim upon us, as opposed to just the responsibility for the mitzvos. And we refer to both as Ol Malchus Shamayim, Ol HaMitzvos. And Rovolbi says, why do we call it a yoke? What's the big deal? I accept Hashem and I accept the mitzvos. But he says, no, you have to understand something. What you take for yourself because you want it, that's not accepting Shamayim. Accepting Shamayim is not about what you're doing for yourself. It has to be for a higher purpose if it's going to be successful. How often do we find people who engage in certain activities in life because it's good for them? Well, if enough people do that, once it's no longer good for them, you don't have anything. I know a group that formed Dominion once. They formed Dominion on the basis of the time that worked for everyone. So long as Dominion time worked for everyone, Dominion was robust and strong. But then one department in the hospital switched the break time and introduced a meeting at that time, and those four guys could no longer go to Dominion. Then a different group in the hospital started a procedure. Those people left Dominion. Similar things happened. Some guy had to move his car at that time. Whatever the case was, before we knew it, Dominion got put on the back burner, and it never was able to restart. Religion can't be for oneself. It needs to be for a higher purpose if it's going to be successful. Rovolbi says, by the way, it's childlike to put yourself and your needs in the center. A baby is born with a self-reference. Everything the baby sees and assumes is for himself. And the secret to all midos is the getting rid of that natural instinct when you're dealing with mitzvos to think that you're doing it for yourself. Rabbi Salber happened to speak about this the other night to the teenage boys when he was talking about the idea of not doing things for yourself. Chesed is not about doing the right thing. It's about doing what's correct. And a person lives in that certain sense, that certain cocoon, that what he does for himself. And if it's true for the person, Rovolbi says, it's got to be even more true for society at large. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, Chamisha Dvarim Tziva Kanan Labana. We have to remember, Avraham Avinu was the antithesis of doing things for yourself and only for yourself. Commands Yitzchak in this week's parasha, don't take a wife from my son Yitzchak from the daughters of Canaan. What's the problem with the daughters of Canaan? So the Gemara says that there were five things that Canaan told his sons. Avu zazeh, love yourselves. Avu asagezel, and also love to steal. Avu asazima, love adultery. Sinu ladonechem, hate the bosses at work. V'yaltadabru emes, and never speak the truth. In other words, The first thing you have to do is love yourself, right? And loving yourself, loving one another, begins and is predicated on hating your bosses, not speaking the truth, loving to steal, and loving Zima. There is no way for you to honestly love one another. Love, by definition, begins first with me and then spreads beyond. Avraham Avinu lived in the exact opposite world. He was very careful about showing chesed to everybody else for no reason. And so to introduce that element that would have totally flipped the chesed upside down and flipped his tent upside down by introducing the Canaan element was so foreign to Avram, he couldn't have it. But Volpe says the same has to be true for us. We have all these wonderful chesed programs. We have a responsibility not to make society into a society of me first. If we can do that, we will live in a wonderful world. But if we can't, then we're going to really have a big challenge for ourselves. How does one turn around and create spaces and time so as not to allow himself or herself to fall prey to the societal whim? Says Rav Volpe, that's what Kabbalah's all is all about. If you know you're not doing for yourself, you're doing for a greater purpose, namely Hashem, you're going to see very quickly that that is a big, big way for us to overcome the challenges. If we get it, we got it all. And when we do, we will turn this world into a true world of friendship, making every day a great day. Have a terrific day.